acknowledging the facts of the Armenian genocide.
Zanko Armenian, we're going to have to leave it there. I want to thank you for being with us with the Armenian National Committee of America. As we wrap up this broadcast, Much Now produced by Mike Berkshire, Fabio Kadus, John Hamilton, Elizabeth Press, Yoruba Rich, and Aaron Matei, Lee Burek, Jen Yutz, Anna Nagara, Anuradha Bhagwati, Mike DeFilippo, and Miguel Nagara, our engineers. Happy birthday to Jerome Bourgeois and Jen Yutz. Our website is democracynow.org. Also, special thanks to Uri Gallet, Angela Alston. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
WUSB Stony Brook.
And as you heard, this is definitely WUSB in Stony Brook, where the time is 6 o'clock. And that means once again, it's time for another exciting edition of Off the Wall. And very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. And I'm sorry for the slight delay, but as always, things get a little crazy sometimes. You ever get stuck behind an idiot? I'm sure it's happened to all of us. And happens in all different manners of day-to-day experiences. But, behind a checkout line, the one person who has to argue about every little item and holds up the entire line, it's always somebody who's in front of you. It's never somebody who's in back of you. And that's one of the reasons why I find it so difficult to operate in the daytime, because there are so many more idiots out there. It's just the ratio of idiots. They tend to stick to daytime schedules. And on the way over here, of course, Route 25A, there's one idiot all the way in the front of this long, long line of cars who, for some reason, has marked down on his to-do list for today, I'm going to go 20 miles an hour on this highway speed road and just hold everybody up. And as luck would have it, this always seems to happen as well. It always seems to happen in the daytime. The person that you're stuck behind is going to the exact same place that you are, or as close as is possible to just annoy you to death. I swear it must be 10 miles. I'm behind this one idiot, first 20 cars back, and then people are escaping the road, going various other places, and eventually I'm right behind the person. almost here at the State University of New York at Stony Brook. And when I get there, when I get right behind him, I can see what's going on. There's a discussion going on in the car. It's a pretty, I wouldn't say heated discussion, but a pointed discussion, because I can see the guy making all sorts of hand gestures, not hysterical ones, but just like he's debating an issue. I saw him making point number one, point number two. I saw the fingers going up as he's discussing to the person next to him, God knows what, the meaning of life, or how many kids they have, or who knows. But it's affecting me in a very adverse way, because I just need to get here, you know? And sometimes it seems like all of Long Island gets together and figures out ways to keep me from getting here on time. So, run in all flustered and crazy and even more unprepared than usual. But I realized, though, as I was going through this, the frustration I feel, the sort of helplessness of being stuck behind one moron who is living in their own little fantasy world. It's very similar. That feeling of frustration is very similar to what I feel on a day-to-day basis being an American. You know, being in this country, seeing how we're being led and how we're slowly and sometimes quickly going down the wrong roads. And there's nothing we can do. There's no passing lane. There's no escape. You're stuck behind the idiot. In this case, several idiots. So yeah, I had plenty of time to think about the parallels there, and I thought it was kind of poetic and maybe even prophetic that this should happen to me today. Today being, of course, the State of the Union address. President George W. Bush will be giving the State of the Union talk in just about 3 hours. And I can tell you, you know, it's all the newspapers are reporting this as he's going to have a tough audience, a tough crowd. He has a very difficult task ahead of him. And I say nonsense to that. This is a crowd of pushovers. These people don't have the guts to utter a single word against the status quo if they think it's going to offend somebody from an opposing party. Not even their own party, from an opposing party sometime down the line. They're so afraid to step out of line in any sense whatsoever. So that's why I can guarantee, and I'll put money on this too. I know gambling is now illegal on the air, but still, anybody who's interested, contact me after the show. We'll make it interesting, all right? I'm putting money down that not a single congressperson or senator, and what are there, like 400 of them? It's a lot of them. It's a whole lot. Half a thousand, practically. Or is it more than that? Yeah, it's more than that, I think, right? I don't even know how many. There's too many. But the point is, not one of them will do anything but applaud. Let me phrase that better. They won't utter a sound that is not a sound of approval. They might. This is as far as they might go. They might not applaud a particular point. And this is what they always do at the State of the Union address. They're always interrupting for applause. They'll say at the end of the night, the speech was interrupted 42 times by applause and 3 standing ovations or whatever. It doesn't matter how bad the president is. Doesn't matter what the policy is leading us to. This is what they always do. They're like trained monkeys. No, I'm sorry. I don't mean to insult trained monkeys. They're like nothing this world has ever seen. They're just a bunch of trained lapdogs. Can I say that? Because it's not insulting all dogs, just lapdogs. Well, anyway, it's basically people who don't have the guts to speak up and say something, if they even have an opinion. They claim to say that they're against this military adventure of George W. Bush's. They're against what he's done to the economy. They're against all sorts of things. But yet, none of them are pursuing anything other than hollow statements to that effect. Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, has made it very clear she does not intend to pursue George W. Bush and hold him accountable for the war he started and the thousands of lives that he's ended. The many thousands, not just the 3,000 Americans, but the many thousands overseas. It's unbelievable. And if anyone else dares to say something, such as Hugo Chavez, even the most liberal factions of this elected body of ours will lead to the defense of George W. Bush, as Charles Rangel did a couple of months ago. How dare you come onto my soil, which was wrong to start with because he was at the UN, and criticize my president. Amazing how this guy becomes my president. All it takes is some foreign leader criticizing him. And these are the most liberal? Whew. So, yeah, look at the State of the Union tonight and just see. See if anybody actually has the audacity to boo or hiss. I'd like to know. I really would like to know. Now, I'm for letting idiots do their thing to prove they're idiots. I'm all for that. You know, I felt that I had earned the right to slap a big "I'm an idiot" bumper sticker on the car in front of me because I had watched him become an idiot right in front of my eyes. So I don't feel guilty for doing that. And similarly, I don't feel that we should keep President Bush from speaking. I think he should speak more. He should be speaking all the time to audiences, not just the military, not just the people that are practically paid to applaud. One question I had, though, when the soldiers are there watching him speak, whenever he gives one of these big military speeches, are they armed? I'm just curious if they take away their guns before he starts talking, because all it takes is one pissed off soldier who's lost a few too many friends, and I don't know. Things could be very different. Interesting. So I'm just curious about that. If any soldiers are out there, please let me know. Again, yeah, let the guy speak. This is not like a Columbia University charade like a few months ago. Let the guy speak, but at the same time, voice your opinion and not just the positive opinions. Don't drown the guy out, but let him know you're out there. So, yeah, State of the Union and reaction of the nation. And it just keeps going. The adventure keeps moving on and on. That's really pretty sad. We're looking at 21,000 more troops being sent over to Iraq. And, of course, we had one of the deadliest days a couple of years ago. 25 U.S. soldiers killed in one day. And nobody seems to think it's going to get any better. Here's the latest from Venezuela. President Hugo Chavez returned to his weekly radio and TV broadcast on Sunday, extolling the ideals of socialist thinker Karl Marx and telling U.S. officials to go to hell for what he called unacceptable meddling in Venezuela's affairs. How could you not love this guy? He's telling the Americans to go to hell. I mean, you just can't get any more any more direct than that. I think that's... regardless of what you think about the guy, he's speaking his mind. And I respect that. Here's the thing, though. He's basically urging the National Assembly to give him final approval this week to what they call the enabling law. And that would grant Chavez authority to pass a series of laws by decree during an 18-month period. You see, this is the kind of disturbing steps that sometimes people take, which I really think are self-defeating, extremely self-defeating. Chavez early this month announced plans to nationalize Venezuela's main telecommunications company and the electricity and natural gas sectors. And he says the law will permit profound changes in areas ranging from the economy to defense, which is all fine and good. Do you know how much gas costs in Venezuela? It costs 12 cents a gallon. And he wants to raise the gas prices. He says the ones who will pay are the ones who fill up the BMWs. Hey, you know, that makes perfect sense to me. Criticizing excessive consumption and self-indulgence, Chavez also announced plans to raise domestic gasoline prices, like I just said, and approve a new tax on luxury goods such as private yachts, second homes, extravagant automobiles. You know, things like that. It's only fair. So, yeah, you have people speaking their minds and various other parts of the world. Too bad it's not happening more here. And then you have different areas of the world sort of combining forces. Chavez and Iran's Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. You know, I was saying that right a couple of weeks ago. Let me get it right again. Ahmadinejad. Yes, the Iranian leader. They are allying themselves. Two countries have previously revealed plans for a joint $2 billion fund to finance investments in Venezuela and Iran. But the leaders said Saturday the money would also be used for projects in friendly countries throughout the developing world. This fund, my brother, the Venezuelan president said, referring affectionately to Ahmadinejad, will become a mechanism for liberation. Death to U.S. imperialism, Chavez said right afterwards. Yes, it's great when people go off onto chanting and things like that. We know today there is too much crude in the market, Chavez said. We have agreed to join our forces within OPEC to support a production cut and save the price of oil. All stuff the U.S. doesn't approve of. But you know what? Too bad. We don't run the world. Well, yeah, we do, but we're not supposed to. And then about a week or week and a half ago, the U.S. Military raided an Iranian consulate in the northern Iraqi city of Erbil, and that annoyed the Kurds, the ones that were supposed to be there protecting and helping. Now they're all angry at us for doing this because we've invaded their turf and done something against their wishes. It's amazing how the sides that we're on one year become our enemies the next. And we never, ever seem to learn. All right. What else has been going on? Okay, this is progress. This is progress of a sort. A Queens grand jury began hearing evidence yesterday in the police shooting of Sean Bell. Remember him? The unarmed black man who was killed in a hail of police bullets on his wedding day in November. The grand jury is going to weigh evidence and determine whether the officers involved in the shooting will face criminal charges. Thank God for the New York Times. Listen to this. In response yesterday to a Freedom of Information Act request, the police department released photographs of four of the five police officers who fired 50 shots in the November 25th shooting, killing Mr. Bell, 23 years old, and wounding two of his friends outside a strip club in Jamaica. So, finally, after all this time, we can tell you who they are. Well, no, not all of them. I'll get to that in a second. But there's pictures here. Two of them are white, two of them are black, if that kind of thing matters to you. I won't tell you which is which. Their names, Michael Carey, Paul Headley, Michael Oliver, and Mark Cooper. That's Mark with a C. There. All right, now we know who they are, or we know who four of the five of them are. Look how long it took just to get that information. Now, it's unfair to release their names because they might be targets of what? Criticism? They have the whole NYPD protecting them, I'll bet. And whenever anybody's accused of anything, their name gets released immediately. Why are they any different? My God, I can't believe it took this long. NYPD declined to provide a photo of the fifth officer who fired the first of the 50 shots, the guy who started the whole thing off, because, get this, because of his undercover status. Oh, come on already. His undercover status? Don't you think maybe that's been blown by now? The guy is facing a murder rap. I think the last thing you should worry about is the future of this particular aspect of his career. I don't think he's very good at it. But let's make a rule. You know, when you kill somebody as an undercover cop who's innocent, you try something else because clearly that's not for you. Queens District Attorney Richard Brown insists his office is not showing any favoritism towards the officers and that the grand jury proceedings will be completely transparent. Yeah, except you're going to keep names secret and not pursue things like this. It's really pretty disgusting. Continuing on the subject of bad cop work, this is local, actually. This comes from right here on Long Island. A Suffolk police officer unknowingly shot a 15-year-old boy in the wrist early on Saturday during a struggle following a car pursuit. Now, I know there are some out there who say, he was guilty of something, so he deserves to be shot. Yeah, you know what? Just go somewhere else. Don't even engage in conversation because it's just going to be a waste of time. You don't shoot people for things like this. And apparently the cop didn't think he did either. That's the weird thing. neither the and even the person who was shot didn't know he was shot. Very strange. I've never been shot, so I don't know. Maybe it's something you can not notice, but I would think you would. Neither the teen nor the officer realized the shot was fired until after the kid, who was a passenger in the car, was taken to a Lindenhurst police station where he complained of pain in his wrist. Oh, boo-hoo, right? And asked that his handcuffs be loosened. And the officer's first thought was, how did you get this wound? Did you guys have a weapon in the vehicle? It was only when he examined his gun and discovered the expended casing did he realize that his weapon had discharged. Unbelievable. So this all started when a cop spotted a SUV running a stop sign near Straight Path in Wyandanch. And when the cop tried to pull over the car, the driver fled with his two passengers, leading officers on a 3-minute chase into West Babylon. But this time they didn't crash into anybody's house, which is good. But they did crash through a fence and they came to a stop. The backseat passenger exited the car, lay on the ground as one officer approached the driver's door. Anyway, apparently the two officers on the other side of the car heard the sound of breaking glass and thought they were gunshots and drew their weapons. It's a miracle no one else was shot. Cops literally jumping the gun. Anyway, kid's going to be all right. Listed in a stable condition, but boy, it's unbelievable the kinds of things that are going on out there. And this is for running a stop sign. I mean, that's where it starts. Ends in gunplay. Okay. Oh, you know, I have something else, too. This might help you guys trying to figure out who that fifth detective was. The name of his partner, James Muscella, was reported in the New York Times as well. So if you know who James Muscella's partner is, that's the fifth cop who started the whole Sean Bell shooting incident. And I'm not saying they're guilty of anything. I'm saying let them be tried before a jury of their peers, I guess. But at the same time, let's not have any more secrecy. If it's going to be transparent, then it should be transparent. And if it's not, let's find out about that, too. Okay, speaking of gunplay, mayors from some of the nation's largest cities have gathered in Washington, D.C. to crack down on the sale of illegal firearms. But get this, the expanding coalition led by Mayor Michael Bloomberg of New York City, yeah, our old friend, has begun to encounter resistance among some advocates for gun owners. Yeah, crackdown of illegal firearms has met resistance. Now, the coalition announced the creation of a bipartisan task force of four House members that will try to introduce legislation in the new Congress cracking down on illegal guns. And the mayors also, all these mayors also unveiled new poll results showing that most Americans support stricter gun laws. Illegal guns are a national problem that demands a national response. We are only as strong as each of our members. But there are signs of emerging opposition to the effort of all these mayors. The New York Sun reported last week that Jared Furman, the mayor of Idaho Falls, Idaho, was the first and so far only mayor to drop out of the coalition, saying he thought the coalition was going too far. Several pro-gun groups plan to hold a news conference this afternoon at the Capitol Hilton to criticize the coalition's efforts. In a news release, they called Mr. Bloomberg the Manhattan gun grabber and questioned the propriety of his use of undercover sting operations and civil litigation to crack down on gun dealers. The National Rifle Association has been sharply critical of Mayor Bloomberg. I just don't get this at all. I don't get how you can be somebody who claims to be a responsible gun owner and yet get all upset when they try to crack down on illegal guns that are killing people in the streets, literally. Bloomberg said in response to the criticism, this is ideological nonsense. We've got to just move past it. Respecting the rights of gun owners while cracking down on illegal guns are completely compatible goals, and we are committed to both. And it's a very strange feeling to agree with the guy, but I do. Unreal. And here's an example of a good use of guns. A bald eagle owes its life to the sharpshooting skills of an Iowa conservation officer, though the bird has yet to offer any thanks. Jason Sandholt is getting plenty of recognition from those who saw him use a single bullet last weekend to free the bird from a branch that hung over a cliff at Lake Red Rock. There were accusations of sheer luck, said Brian Lange, one of the kayakers who discovered the bird Saturday and alerted authorities. He added it was really a heroic shot. Basically, the eagle was found hanging about 60 feet above the lake southeast of Des Moines. The bird apparently had caught a single talon in a knot hole in the branch when it landed. And apparently the bird tried to take off, losing its balance. It hung from the talon upside down. This wasn't actually a man-made problem. This was a natural problem. Apparently, eagles are hanging upside down all throughout the forest because they get stuck on these things. Anyway, because the eagle is hanging over a cliff and high in the air, this could be an episode of 24, right? Hanging high above a cliff, upside down, ready to fall at any moment. Sharpshooters at the ready. Anyway, ropes and ladders seemed unlikely rescue tools, and many in the group thought a mercy killing was the best option. I could just see them discussing it right there. Well, yeah, I say shoot him in the head, and then we can gather the carcass later for some ceremony. Anyway, Sandhill said he asked for a chance to free the bird with his rifle, figuring at best the bird would fall into the lake and have to be rescued for rehabilitation at a clinic. Eagle rehabilitation, that's always fun. It's safe to say no one had any confidence that I could do that, he said of his proposed sharpshooting. My buddies were waiting for a poof of feathers. He bent a tree sapling over to use as a brace. He used the muzzleloader's scope to take aim, and the bullet traveled 60 to 70 feet cleanly through the edge of the knot hole. The eagle flew away. Officers waited for it to collapse. Instead, the bird kept flying, disappearing over the horizon. Now, that is a good use of a gun, I think. It really is. To save lives, to do something positive. Not just to shoot people who you don't like or who are annoying you for one reason or another. Yes, there are good uses. Just like cops are very good for certain jobs. Not just shooting people, but helping people, saving people, doing heroic things. I think we need to get back to that, to serve, to protect, that kind of definition. Okay, speaking of New York City, this is good news for yours truly. A federal judge in Manhattan has ruled that hundreds of city records, including documents, videotapes, and testimony, can be made public in connection with lawsuits brought by people arrested during the 2004 Republican National Convention, of which I was one. In a 49-page decision released yesterday that rejected the city's efforts to keep the material secret, Magistrate Judge James Francis cited the patent inadequacy of the type of formulaic incantations of harm. Oh, I like that. I'm going to say it again. The patent inadequacy of the type of formulaic incantations of harm made by the city. Just once, I would like to be in a position where I can use a sentence like that and know what it means and have people understand it. Must be good to be a judge. Anyway, the city had argued that the release of the material would be embarrassing, misleading, or dangerous. Now, the city is going to take a few days to decide if they're going to appeal this. The release of the records had been sought by the New York Civil Liberties Union. Spokesman said the public has an important interest in knowing what was behind the mass arrests and prolonged detentions of protesters during the convention. And boy, I am dying to know. I'm dying to know what that was all about. And for those of you who would like to relive it, go to, I think, the first show of September 2004 on our website, www.2600.com/offthewall. Hear it for yourself. The city, which has argued that the 1,806 arrests during the convention were legitimate, said the release of its internal police documents would cause embarrassment and mislead the public if publicized. The mere fact that documents were not intended for public view when they were created does not justify a protective order, he wrote. Nor again does the fact that the NYPD would prefer to continue to keep those documents from the public. The judge rejected the city's argument that a number of the records should be withheld because they contain information that is unreliable or subject to misinterpretation. He said the city gives the general public very little credit when it contends that readers will be unable to grasp that the information contained in these documents might be incomplete or inaccurate. So it's good to see the court system actually work, and it's good to actually disagree with Mayor Bloomberg again. Okay, and this interesting story. An elderly man who wrote in a letter to the editor about Saddam Hussein's execution that they hanged the wrong man got a visit from Secret Service agents concerned he was threatening President Bush. Can you believe this? I mean, I've heard people say so much worse than that. I guess they don't write letters about it. The letter by Dan Tilley, 81 years old, was published in Monday's edition of the Express Times of Easton, Pennsylvania. It ended with the line, "I still believe they hanged the wrong man." Tilley said the statement was not a threat. I didn't say who. I could have meant Osama bin Laden. Two Secret Service agents questioned Tilley at his Bethlehem apartment on Thursday, briefly searching the place and taking pictures of him. Can you believe that? Write a letter to the editor and the Gestapo come and take pictures of you and search your apartment. Because you say they hanged the wrong man. Unbelievable. The agents almost immediately decided that he wasn't a threat. Didn't stop them from taking his picture, questioning him, and searching the place. This also wasn't Tilley's first run-in with the federal government over his letter writing. Two FBI agents from Allentown showed up at his home last year about a letter he wrote advocating a civil war to unseat Bush. Well, you know, if that's what it takes, if your nation is heading to a police state, then civil or just at least halfway polite war is in order. And I think that's not so far away anymore. But yeah, you know, you have to put things into perspective. Here you have a guy who's completely changed the direction of this country, has started a war for basically reasons that are lies, has cost the lives of so many people. And yeah, you know, it's going to anger people. Compare that to terrorists who take out large numbers of people. Let's do this. Let's compare Saddam Hussein. All right, an evil dictator to be sure. But at least you knew he was an evil dictator. At least he was very upfront about it. You didn't want to cross this guy. He was mean. He had his thugs around him. And he was responsible for the death of a lot of people. Now, how is it different? How does it feel different if a president from another land starts bombing your country, killing your people, killing your family, torturing people in prison? He's not torturing people themselves, but his henchmen are. Just like I'm sure Saddam Hussein didn't do the actual torturing himself. He had henchmen do it. Who knew? Who knows? We don't know what Saddam knew. We don't know what Bush knew. The effect is the same. And now you have a situation where on September 11th, we lost, 3,000 people in total. And now that same number has been achieved in the war that means nothing. A war based on lies and whose motivations are clearly very suspicious. These people are just as dead. Should not the person responsible be held accountable? You hang Saddam Hussein for a massacre of 100 people. What do you do to George W. Bush, responsible for so many tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of deaths, for no reason? I'm against the death penalty just about every case imaginable. So this is not something I'm advocating, but I have to realize that there are a lot of people in the world that see that kind of a thing as completely justifiable. And we have to recognize that. We have to realize that the rest of the world sees things in a completely different way than we do. I know a lot of us see things in a very different way than the mainstream does, but it's just getting more and more bizarre. I have no doubt it's going to get crazier before it gets any saner. Okay, we got a lot of mail from people from last week's show. We're going to try to read some of it. And again, we're going to try to take some phone calls at 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. I see already we're getting calls, which is good. But it's pointless because we won't take them for a few more minutes to come. I'd like to read a couple of letters. We talked about recruiters, military recruiters, and got quite a response. Military recruiters in high schools, targeting kids in malls, lying to them, saying there's no war, that they won't get sent to Iraq, that they'll wind up playing in the band, and that their education will be paid for. And got a bunch of people agreeing and giving more examples, saying what happens in their schools, and a couple that took issue. And I'd like to go to the ones that take issue, because those are always more interesting, as far as I'm concerned. Thing is, okay, this letter here is so big. It has so many different points to make. The only way I can do this, okay, I'm gonna do this in a special type of a way. I don't want to read this letter and keep interrupting with my own points, because it's going to be hard for you to tell when the letter ends and when I start. So I've arranged to do this in a rather different way. All right. Whenever there's a point that needs to be made by me, what I'm going to do is
say it over the telephone. So it's slightly distracting because there's a delay when I talk into the phone and when I hear it in my headphones. But I think that's the way to do it.
Yeah. So that's, I guess we'll just have to go back and forth. Let's see if I position the phone. I'm going to try and position the phone and the microphone so that it's close by. Actually, I don't want to be coming over all the time. All right, I'll move the phone over here. And now you can't hear the phone. Okay, good. So I'm going to read the letter, and then when I have a point to make,
I'll just jump in like this.
Okay, good enough. I'm a senior at my inner city high school in Minneapolis. I'm not sure whether or not you've read my previous message about the ridiculous cameras that have been implemented into our halls, probably have, along with the occasional ROTC representative sent from whatever reserve base they have sent to our school. I haven't seen one in a while, but then again, I do tend to leave my dreadful and dirty school for lunch. That is usually when they tended to pop up in the lunchroom. Never did I see the soldier, sailor, airman, etc. Approach one of my fellow students. It's truly abhorrent that this recruiter approach kids, even with their parents, in malls. As I'm hearing another listener talk about how he steals their pencils and walk away as they talk about what they offer, I remember doing the same thing, except I never wanted their crappy pencils. I always went for the lanyard. It never really occurred to me that their intentions of recruiting into the military might necessarily be a bad thing, as I've always regarded the ROTC program as a generous solution to impoverished students with talent who want to go to college eventually after high school. Can you believe this? You know what happened? I got disconnected. The university phone system disconnected me. I'm sorry. I had a point to make. This is me. I know I'm coming in the studio voice. I'm not coming in the phone voice. Okay, can we do this again?
Can you hear me? Okay, good.
This is amazing. I'm trying to talk from one phone to another. They're both within an inch of me, and I'm having difficulty with it because this newfangled phone system from 1986 still doesn't work properly. Okay, you know, I'm going to read the last line so that I can make the point that I made. Let's see. Yes, never really occurred to me that their intentions of recruiting into the military might necessarily be a bad thing, as I've always regarded the ROTC program as a generous solution to impoverished students with talent who want to go to college eventually after high school.
Well, I just want to jump in and say that why are we thinking this way? Where eventually you wind up going to college, and the only way to get there for an impoverished student is to serve in the military first.
I think it's a good point. Well, let's continue. I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to break in this voice. Continuing with the letter, I know what you're thinking, and that there are other means of affording college tuition, but you of all people should agree that a student should not have to apply endlessly to foundations and financing services to pay for an absurdly priced school. Unfortunately, there's only a little financial aid to go around, and full rides to renowned colleges is like a Mexican trying to get a visa to the U.S.
Well, this is the point. This is exactly the point. Why is it that there are so few that there's so little financial aid? Do you know why? It has to do with the military adventurism going on, and we have to pay for that in so many ways. We have to pay for that in the lives of our troops. We have to pay for that in the less financial aid that's available now. We have to pay for that in the way people have to make choices. And very often they choose to go into the military and make all these sacrifices, things they would not do ordinarily, just so they could get an education and do a little better in their lives.
My point is that ROTC offers a viable way for students to pay for something that can only be financed by a wealthy entity, be it a university, foundation, parents, or government. Whatever happened to free will? When the ROTC guys came to my school, everyone knew damn well they didn't have to listen to what they said. It's simply ridiculous that you label all recruiters the bad guy in this situation, because I wholeheartedly believe they have the intent of doing their job, which isn't to recruit teenagers, put them on an assembly line, and ship them off to the sands of Iraq to get their heads blown off.
Oh, no. I think they get a commission for all the people they send overseas. And I don't think they really care what happens to them once they get them to sign their name. So, I don't know. I have a definite problem with that. And as for free will, as for being able to not listen, well, do they allow all sorts of different people to come into schools and peddle their wares and try to get kids to sign up with them for their particular company, or business scheme, or what have you? I think they'd be looked upon with suspicion by parents, by teachers, by the students themselves, and rightfully so. The military should not get a free pass.
On the contrary, they're providing financial resources for a student who might not have the ability to pay for college. If he finds a career in the military, that's great, and he'll make that decision for himself when he's 18 or older. Until then, the military, Navy, and Air Force is powerless.
Oh, come on. That is the biggest load of rubbish I've ever heard. They're powerless? They're influencing the minds of these innocent kids, making them think that, oh, if I join the Navy, if I join the Army, it's going to be a nice, glorious career, and I'll get to see all these parts of the world and ride on ships and learn how to fly planes. It's nonsense, and it's taking advantage of people, influencing them. So, yeah, when they're 18, they'll believe all this nonsense. They'll sign that piece of paper, and they'll go merrily off to war and do whatever they're told. So that's what the military is all about. The reason why there is so little financial aid is because if there was more, there'd be less people in the military. Because then they wouldn't have to go into the military to pay for their education. They could pay for their education through financial aid, through grants, through loans. And that's the last thing that the powers that be want, because then you don't have this group of volunteers. And that's really a misnomer if I've ever heard one.
All right, if I could finish this letter here without being interrupted by the annoying person on the phone. I can hardly wait to hear what this sounds like on the tape there, because it's really kind of distracting here. Anyway, once you're actually considering life after high school, you're old enough to make sense of the predicament you find yourself in. The military can't force anyone to do anything, nor can we expect anything less of the people that sign themselves up.
Actually, the military has made a career forcing people to do something.
Well, that's kind of a cheap shot. I mean, it's, yeah, obviously once you're signed up for the military. But before that
there's certainly an influence. There's a lot of influence that the military has on people. They have influence on people who have no intention of joining the military. The way the news is reported, the way we read things, the way we believe things. A bunch of our soldiers get killed, a bunch of their terrorists get killed. You know, this is how we report things, and this is how we believe it, and it's all propaganda.
Okay, I'd really like to finish this now. Anyway, what you put your name on is your own reasoning, no matter what someone has done to persuade you. In regards to your comment about finding out the 10 schools with thriving ROTC programs, I'd like to know how many kids have actually been brainwashed by ROTC recruiters in sedans with tinted windows with candy. I'm an avid reader and listener of your work, but some of it becomes quite far-fetched when you throw in this stuff about the government's desire to brainwash us all to their agenda.
I think that's not really fair, because it's not a question of the government brainwashing everybody, sitting down in some bunker someplace and figuring it all out. It's a question of people being led astray when they really don't have all the facts. And being approached in their schools when they're underage, it just seems to me that if this was some other entity, we would have no problem restricting it. The military, we just allow them to approach our kids in malls, to call them at home, and to be presented with a positive outlook in schools.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, let's finish up here. I've hung up the phone because it's just too distracting for me. The people that are fighting the war for us, whether we are for or against it, join the service on their own terms. Simply because one signs up for the armed forces does not mean he or she is bound to serve for their lifetime. I hope you reconsider your angst towards recruiting, or at least tone down the generalizations and begin to attack the sole point of your argument, which is the recruiters who literally hunt down students. We both know that's inappropriate. Signed, Jordan. Jordan, thanks for writing in. Sorry for the distracting responses, which proved to be more distracting than ever. And let's see, here's another reader writes in, the entire recruitment situation has me quite worried. I'm in the 10th grade. I have to disagree on the usual age for a 9th grader, by the way. Most of the 9th grade students at my school are 13 or 14, some even 15. We have yet to have a visit from anyone advertising Army recruitment. It's the fact that it's going on in other schools that worries me. I see it as a form of brainwashing the youth with lies. I mean, from what I understand, many of these people are saying things like those who are recruited doesn't make any sense, this sentence here. Will become the next war hero of our time, or perhaps a little more realistically, but still extremely misleading, join the Navy. It just won't happen, not to everyone at least. Do these students realize that? Not when they're faced with such a position and a chance to serve the ever so greatest country in the whole world. Yeah, right. I don't feel our country is completely brainless, though. Many of my peers do keep up with current events, and a shocking amount even see the wrongness that goes on around us. I feel that the problem in our community is taking action. As you said, people need to take a stand. We're human beings, for goodness sake. We deserve freedom in every form. I see it like this. When it comes to any subject, even politics, we need a good balance of hackers, the free thinkers and developers, and the corporations, the people who tend, and I put emphasis on tend, since this isn't always the case, to be in it for the money. I'm a strong supporter of 2600. I really hope that we can do something about the Hotel Pennsylvania. That's right, saving the Hotel Pennsylvania is an important goal right now, where we have our hope conferences. Signed, Anonymous, asking how he can help out. Well, Anonymous and everyone else who has expressed interest, we have we started a forum on the subject and on the hope conferences in general. And if you go to talk.hope.net, you can join that forum and talk about many things, including how to save the hotel. And I'm amazed in the last, it's actually less than a week, how much we have gotten accomplished, how many people have come on board, and how organized this this fight to keep the hotel from being destroyed has become. And I've learned how many people really appreciate the place. Basically, what we're talking about is a hotel built in 1919, opposite from Penn Station here in New York, a place that people see as soon as they get out of the train. People from all around the world come to this place. It's somebody likened it to the Statue of Liberty for train travelers. It's what you see as soon as you get out of the biggest train station in the biggest city on the East Coast. And they want to tear that down. They want to tear down the building that inspired the song Pennsylvania 6-5000 by Glenn Miller, because he stayed there. He lived there, in fact. And because it's kind of old and not modern, that means it's bad these days. Yeah. Throwback to an older time. And people see that as a waste of space. Instead, they want to build a... Oh, my God. In fact, if you go to talk.hope.net and browse through the Save the Hotel discussion, you'll see a picture of what they want to put up in its place. And it's the most disgusting thing. It's straight out of Times Square. They want to replace this old building from 1919 that looks very grandiose on the outside with this horrible billboard that will be permanently blasting ads to all the commuters coming out of the train station, which I guess is the point. I guess that's what they really want to do. How sad. So we're trying all sorts of different things. Of course, we realize our chances are pretty slim when going up against a huge corporation like Vornado, which seems to own everything in the city now. I thought Trump was the problem. My God. So hopefully we'll get more people involved. And you can also email us, hotel@2600.com. And if you're interested in helping out in other ways. Okay, our phone number is 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. It's funny how the calls are there when I'm not giving the phone number out. As soon as I give them out, they panic and hang up. So if you're out there and you have something to say and you can say it quickly, give us a call. We'd like to hear from you. This is not unexpected. Muslims are protesting the show 24 because of the way they're being portrayed as terrorists constantly on that program. Yeah, you know, it's something. It's bad because obviously it doesn't represent all Muslims. I have nothing against a particular group being portrayed in one way or another way, but if you keep telling the same story over and over again, it gets a little old. And they're trying to liven it up. They're trying to liven it up with a couple of extra weirdness. For instance, now it appears that the superhuman agent, Jack Bauer, his father now apparently is behind it all. His father and his brother. My God, come on. Couldn't this get any more Peyton Placious? You know, it's insane. The whole plot is completely crazy. They just nuked a city at the end of last week's episode. They nuked Valencia, California. Sorry, guys. And then this week starts off. Remember, the show is in real time. It starts off with an announcement on television saying that it's safe to go indoors. We're urging you to go back into your homes. 1 minute after a nuclear attack, there's an announcement on TV urging people to go back into their homes. Come on, the world does not work that way. Obviously, a week has passed in the TV episode world, but not in the story you're trying to tell. So it's just done really sloppily, and while people should be upset that they're being portrayed badly, I got to tell you, nobody is being portrayed realistically in that thing. Nobody and nothing. And Jack Bauer, least of all. In a way, it's sort of like the whole James Bond thing, where just time after time, the guy saves the day, and it's complete fantasy, and it should be treated as such. And I just... Oh, my God. Do you realize Jack Bauer and James Bond have the same initials? Do you think that's intentional? It must be intentional. Okay, I let's go to the phones. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook. I mean, on Off the Wall. You got a lot of noise. You there? A lot of noise.
Hi.
Yes.
Manny?
Yes, go ahead. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from my car. I'm coming home from work. I love your show.
Well, thank you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. You Chinese New Year or a regular New Year?
Well, both. I think Chinese New Year is this weekend.
It's coming up.
You know, with that State of the Union address there, I think it's mostly courtesy. But you have to realize who's manning the cameras as far as a sour face or a disgruntled patron that's sitting there. Mm-hmm. You could watch C-SPAN and maybe get a neutral look at it. Generally, if it's a Bush speech, I don't even listen. I mean, I don't watch it. I will listen to it just to feel the content, but, you know, without having to look at his mug and his expressions, of course.
Yeah, but, you know, I think there's a danger in not listening and ignoring what he's saying, because we do have to know what he's up to, and it's also a bit of comedy.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly not the British House of Commons that we can see on Sunday night on PBS
something. That's always fun.
And you know, where they're hissing and spewing all kinds of things against the Prime Minister.
It's, in a way, that's like the other extreme, but it's amazing. They actually get things done, and everybody's like, here, and booing and hissing, and somehow, I guess everyone feels a lot better doing that, and here everybody just holds their tongue.
It's called a participatory democracy, as opposed to... Here we have Demokins and Republicrats and things like that. It's all about who's buying the influence. But he might come up with something new. I don't know. I doubt it. But you know, there's always cable, as you know.
Yeah. Well, supposedly he's going to come up with some kind of healthcare thing that's supposed to make him look better. But you know, we really got to focus on the disaster that we're facing right now. We can't distract attention from that, and that's got to be dealt with one way or another.
They still have to clean up a big mess with Hurricane Katrina as far as healthcare goes, the people in our own country, let alone the ones we ship off overseas.
Absolutely.
There's, what, hundreds of children who are totally unidentified at this point, from the hurricane last year. So
I know. It's a real tragedy.
It's just a total mess. I just pray for some sort of more good news this year. Rather than bad news, and
All right.
Maybe I'll take up yoga or something. I don't know.
Let's keep our fingers crossed. All right, thanks.
All right, Manny. Thank you. I got to go.
Thanks for your call. And good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, where are you calling from?
I'm in Stony Brook right now, actually.
Oh, Stony Brook. I must account for the distant sound.
Here you go. Well, I have my hands-free because we have to use that hands-free thing in our car.
Oh, so you're in a car, and this is what hands-free sounds like. My God, you sound so far away.
Yeah, it's one of those things.
All right, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I was just I didn't hear anything about the shooting, and I guess that's Wyandanch over there.
The cop shooting where the cop didn't know that he shot the guy.
Yeah, that's kind of strange. I know, you know, that's I didn't hear anything about, but I know that's kind of odd that you didn't hear a loud, you know,
But you heard it on this show. You didn't hear anything anywhere else is what you're saying.
Yeah. One of the things is, though, whenever I'm driving and I get stopped or whatever it is, and I don't normally get stopped most of the time, I pull over.
Okay.
And I've never been shot by anybody. I mean, I have a whole house full of guns, et cetera, et cetera.
Uh-huh.
Right? I've never been shot. I was always taught that cops pull you over. The cops throw up the lights. You pull over. That's the end of it. You don't go faster.
Right. Yeah, but you see, okay, nobody is saying that what these kids did was right or correct. Kids do dumb things sometimes. It's definitely a dumb thing. I'm just saying that running a stop sign is not something that is worth getting shot over, whether it's accidentally or on purpose. They just got to be a little bit more careful.
I suppose you're right. They weren't in the stolen car or anything, or that was just the stop sign.
I think, I'm not sure about that. But, you know, the point is these guys weren't brandishing weapons or anything like that. It was kind of inappropriate. And I understand, you know, sometimes cops are taken by surprise. That's why we call them heroes, because they are putting themselves on the line. They're not putting themselves on the line if they go in with guns blazing, though. Then they're putting us on the line.
That's true, too. All right, I'll stand by and maybe pick up another call with you.
I don't think so. I think we're out of time. But I want to thank you for calling, and thank everybody else for listening. Our email address for the show is otw@2600.com. And if you want to get involved in the Save the Hotel Pennsylvania fight, which is building up, looks like our next big campaign, and boy, this is going to have to be a really big campaign, join the forum, talk.hope.net. It's a lot of fun. It's pretty inspiring to see how many people come together from all around the world. If you have something you like to convey privately about the Hotel Pennsylvania, say maybe you work for the company that wants to destroy it and you have inside information that you'd like to pass along to us and you don't want to post it in a public forum, by all means, email us, hotel@2600.com. We'll be happy to read your mail. The mail you send us, that is, not your mail. No off the hook tomorrow because it's preempted. It'll be on next week, and we'll be back again on this station next week for another exciting edition of Off the Wall. And until then, stay free, stay alert, report back to us, let us know what's going on. Watch the State of the Union tonight, it'll be a bit of fun. OTW@2600.com. Good night. Hey!
Hi, this is Albert Collins. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB FM station. When I want to listen to some good blues, that's the station you tune into.